So cute. This outfit's actually fab, I think.
Welcome back to another episode of Stay Open. I am your gorgeous host, Arletta, and I am feeling myself today, okay? I feel like, if I do say so myself, this set keeps getting better and better, and I'm having so much fun, like, dressing up, dressing the part, if you will. I mean, this is honestly everything I already own, so there's not really, like, any dress-up going on, just, like, me bringing out my inner goddess for you, but I'm so excited to be here on the microphone today and be bringing you a new episode on Stay Open. Okay, welcome back to my kitchen for a happy hour with Stay Open. If you are on dry January, this is going to be the episode for you. We have a little different setup. I have a microphone between my tits. And I just wanted to move. I wanted to groove. I felt like I was locked in with the microphone. So if the quality is less than what you would prefer, let a bitch know. So I'll go back to the OG. But right now my top is like awkward. Like normally I could put it right here. But it's kind of low cut, so this is just where she's going to be. Anyways, I'm not doing dry January, but I thought, you know, with it being January and we're probably still recovering from the holidays and I went a little too hard in the paint this weekend, I'm forgetting that I'm almost 29 and your girl can't bounce back like she used to. So today I'm bringing you, this is not sponsored, but I'm bringing you a Kin. Okay, this is the company made by Mrs. Bella Hadid herself. It is a euphoric. She has, I think, 4 flavors, if I'm wrong about that, sorry. This one is Actual Sunshine, Rise and Glow. This one's Gently Caffeinated. So do with that what you will. And she has non-caffeinated ones. And this isn't very like Stay Open vibes, but this is what your girl needs right now. So that's what we're doing. It's a functional beverage for modern rituals. Has vitamin C, D3, zinc, collagen, saffron, and turmeric, and then caffeine, 33 milligrams. And today we're going to use these fun glasses from my best friend who got them for me for Christmas. Shout out to Cole. She was like, I had to get them for you. They were so Stay Open. So we're making them in our little martini glasses because we can. Okay, so all you're going to need, super simple. Also, how gorgeous are these flowers? I made this. I'm so proud of myself. Trader Joe's masterpiece. And I'm thinking maybe for the spring we do a little flower arrangement section of the show. Let me know in the comments if that's something that you would like to see, because I love making flower arrangements and I feel like they're so easy and people act like it's hard. It's not hard.
What, like it's hard?
Anyways, I'm going to be making 2 tonight because Zach's going to get one of them. Lucky him. And as always, modify the recipe as you see fit. But we're going to start with some crushed ice in the glass. Oh, wow, that was actually perfect. Then we're going to crack open our Kin. Oh my God, it smells so good. It smells like turmeric. Wow. We're going to pour that into our little martini glass. And then, because it's not a mocktail with just a little spice, we're going to add frozen blueberries. You can add fresh blueberries if you want, but I'm going to add frozen because it's what I had. And when they're frozen, you honestly don't even need to do ice because they kind of act as your ice cubes. But I like drinks where you can drink and kind of munch on what's inside of the drink as you go. And there you have it. A beautiful mocktail cocktail for your dry January, for your sober life, for your little tea break on alcohol.
Ooh, that's good. I haven't had this one.
Back to the episode. Cheers.
How is everybody? How are you today? How's your January going? And I'm going to ask the question that I'm sure you don't want to get asked, but how are the New Year's resolutions? Are you sticking to them? Have you already kicked them across the universe? Are you like, I think it's so healthy every month to obviously look back on your life, look back on the month, look back on the year, the last 5 years, think about where you are, where you want to go, point A to point B type shit, how you're, you know, are you getting to where you want to go in the most efficient way? Do you need to tinker? Do you need to change a little bit of the direction? And nothing is healthier than just checking in mid-January to see how your resolutions are doing and to see how you are kind of making out in the first year of 2024 and the way that you feel about yourself and the life that you're living. So I'm sure you're going to be seeing that because it's such like a clickbaitable topic, but I genuinely want to know, are you sticking to them? Have you kind of change them and tweak them, or do you wait and give it like a good 3 months and then change? Like, what is your structure for your New Year's resolutions? I have been doing great. I've been doing pretty good on my resolutions. I'm still feeling that like New Year energy. I got a juicer off of Facebook Marketplace. Shout out to Facebook Marketplace. It's a lifesaver and amazing. But I got a juicer and I've been on my juice game. I'm really all about health and wealth and wellness this year and just strengthening and reinforcing the lovely foundation that I feel like I've been building for myself and my family and my relationship with my husband over the last 4 years. So 5 years, 6 years, I don't know, most of my 20s, I guess. But today is going to be a fun episode. I feel like, hold on, let me get this, like, what is this Apple Pencil doing here? Hold on. Okay, me just casually chucking a $200 pencil across the room. Anyways, today's going to be a fun episode. I feel like I just want to sit down with my girls and talk girl to girl and have a little discussion because I've seen something interesting on the internet happening with trends, with the way I think women in our 20s are starting to react to trends. And specifically, if we could just for a moment indulge me, let's talk about this idea of a mob wife. And like, I've seen videos of girls being like, clean girl aesthetic is out, mob wife is in. And some girls are all about it, like the big furs, the kind of like put together but not really put together tousled hair, the jewelry, the attitude, the like don't fuck with me and my family, if you know what I'm saying, soprano vibes. Some girls are like that, and then these, and like rich and money and like family and mob wife. And then the other side of this conversation are women who are like, mob wife is toxic. These women are cheated on. These women don't get respect from their husbands. They're always second fiddle. They're playing the husband's game. This isn't their world. It's like the world they're kind of married into. And it's not this, I don't know, this archetype, if you will, that we should be striving for. And I've been sitting back silently in my own little corner of the internet, just creeping as I do, looking and thinking about how I feel about the situation. Because when I first saw Mob Wife Energy, I feel, okay, maybe this is just my Italian coming out, I feel like I am a mob wife, okay? Like, if you're down with the game, you're down with the game. Like, you have, I don't know, I feel like I have that energy. So in a way, I love that trend. I'm like, yeah, mob wife's in. Because let me tell, okay, Clean Girl, I said this in the last episode, or maybe, no, my Christmas mini-sode, like one of my resolutions, my like fun resolutions last year were to always smell good, like be the girl that when you hug her, you're like, and you pull back, you're like, oh my God, what are you wearing? You smell so good. That was my version of a clean girl aesthetic, because even if you could see beyond this camera right now, see beyond the microphone you're listening into, or you're listening me speak into, it's the furthest thing from a clean girl aesthetic. And I try, okay? I try to, and I love following the accounts that are like, I just saw an account, this girl's like, I clean up my whole house in the time that it takes me to wash my sheets. Do you live in an 800 square foot apartment? Like, I could no more do that. It takes me many hours to clean my house and have a full overhaul Sunday reset. And I don't even know if I believe in Sunday resets, because again, doesn't work for me. I have to do little by little. Like, I have to tackle a room a week. I have to a room a day, a week. I have to do things in increments. Like, I can't do my big dishwashing day if I'm also doing my big laundry day. Just like I can't do my big laundry day if I'm doing my big house cleaning day. I kind of do a little bit here and there, but I found for myself that doing a little each day instead of just a full Sunday reset is healthier for me. But I digress. Essentially, I was just creeping on the internet, looking at what people are saying about trends, and everyone's talking about like the old money haircut, the old money lifestyle, that aesthetic. And I love that aesthetic. I want to live inside of it, crawl inside like a salt burn lifestyle and just like dance and drink and drug the night away. But I think there's a difference, and this is what I'm getting at for this episode. There's a difference between finding and gaining inspiration through trends throughout the years rather than making it your entire aesthetic. Because I know there's girls on the internet, there are women on the internet who make good money for having a cream, beige, white, like reset, I don't know what that's called, like aspiring account where you follow it because it's inspirational for you. They make a lot of money off of that. And I like to think that their life is genuinely like that, because otherwise, how do you, like, if you constantly have to reset your environment to then make it look like it's always clean, to then clean up or reset your fridge or restock your makeup or whatever, like, that's exhausting. So I hope they really do live their life that way and just bring a camera along to show us, because it's something I aspire to be. But clean girl aesthetic is not my baseline. It's not who I truly am. It's not my baseline. Clean girl aesthetic is not, it's always been, I've had to put in a lot of effort to be the clean girl. But I am more so, like, my style more pulls in inspiration from trends. And when I was sitting down thinking about what I wanted to talk to you about, and especially this year, what I want the content on Stay Open to be, I really want to, as I come into my last year in my 20s, like, ring out everything I could possibly think of what I wish someone would have said to me or have a conversation to me about in my 20s, and what I needed to hear and what was most important. And so I think for me, as I'm sure you listening to this can maybe relate a little bit, I am influenced by trends. I love a good trend. I love something that's functional, that is a little nugget of knowledge, that is healthy for me, that makes my life better, that comes into kind of the forefront of society and blows up. I love seeing those things. And most times I'm fortunate enough to have my hands on that said item or product or, you know, you name it before it kind of becomes big. So it's not like sold out and I can't find it. I'm kind of like enjoying it as the world is also enjoying it. And so for that, trends have always been so interesting to me because I studied PR in college. I love my job has to do with marketing and advertising and kind of having a finger to the pulse of what the culture is wanting to see in a way. And I love that. It's fascinating for me. But I think there's a really detrimental side to that component of culture, especially through what's facilitated in social media for women who are in this developmental phase of finding out who they are themselves as a woman, to be so influenced every single day by what you should buy, what you should look like, how your hair should be, what clothes you should be wearing, what music you should be listening to. It's all should. And the advertisement world is designed to make you feel like you have a lack in your life. It's designed to punch a hole through the fabric of your life and make you feel like you can't possibly fill that hole without X, Y, and Z. And for women specifically in their 20s, we're a huge marketable demographic because we're impressionable. A lot of women want to just fit in and want to be a part of the conversation. They want to have a seat at the table and they want to know, like, what are we gossiping about? What are we wearing? Like, what UGG platforms are we buying? What, like, Stanley Cup are we sipping on? We just want to know. We want to be in it. It makes us feel like we're a part of it and something special. But it's interesting to me because we all develop at different paces in our 20s. And that's why I think there's such a significant decade, especially for women, because not only are we impressionable, but we also are actively molding ourselves into who we want to be. Or in some cases, we're actively dismembering ourselves, either for the good or the bad of our life. Sometimes you don't know it when you're in it. But sometimes you got to break down to come back together, to build back up. Sometimes you have to kill that part of you that you thought you were, who you thought you were in college, to build into the woman you want to be. And we're all in different places. So when trends come into play and things like mob wife come into play, I often think about when I was in my early 20s and I was trying to think, who am I? You know, I'm no longer with the people, like my comfort people from high school. I've thrown myself into this new chapter of my life with college. And I think we also experience this when we leave college and throw ourselves into the new chapter of our career or our next step. It begs the question of who do we want to be in the morning? What like mask do we want to put on in some ways? What persona do we want to show up as? And trends play a huge role in that. And even more so, I see it playing a bigger role in the younger generation because we are so integrated into advertisement, we don't even know that it's everything we see. It's everything you look at. It's whether or not it's paid for and by the company that the product is being pushed by, or the, I don't know, the class or the supplement, whatever. Whether or not the company is paying for it, that person is still selling you something. I just had a Christmas Minnesota. I did my gift guide. Like, I was a salesperson for an hour. Not intentionally, obviously out of the goodness of my heart, but again, it's just kind of advertising has almost woven itself into a second language for us. And women are the target market and the target audience. And it makes it really difficult when you're coming into your womanhood to differentiate what is a vibe that you genuinely feel like is yours and what's a vibe that has been placed upon you subconsciously or consciously from the people you involve yourself with, from the material that you consume. And I basically wanted to, I've been talking about it, but the last, like, what, 20 minutes. But I basically wanted to throw around the idea of what's a trend and what's a personality, like what's a characteristic and a true personality of yours. How do you find who you are in your 20s? How do you come into the woman that you are in your 20s? While also maybe being someone who likes trends, but navigating what is something you want to keep in your life and what is something you want to let go of and not be influenced by. And it took me, I would say, until the last few years, until I really started feeling more grown. I think there's some life events that happen in a woman's life in her 20s or her 30s or whenever the fuck you want, because you can live your life however you fucking want to. There are certain events that happened in my life that made me realize, wow, I am becoming a woman. Like, I am a woman. Not even I'm becoming a woman. I'm a grown woman. When I got married, I was like, okay, I'm grown. I don't know if I was grown before. I don't know if I was grown walking down the aisle, but I'm grown now after I said I do. And part of being grown, at least to me, meant fully taking responsibility and autonomy over my life and my decisions. And one of my decisions and one of our decisions in our life is the way we spend money. And when I was moving into my first place with my husband, us buying furniture, buying just daily necessities became a constant question for me of, am I going to like this in a year? Like, nothing says a big girl purchase like, hi, you're going to drop $2,000 on a couch. Hope you fucking like it. Like, you better freaking find a couch you like, because this is not just, we've left the playground of life and we're now in the big leagues. We're in the professional league and we're spending real money on real shit. And I just wanted to be intentional about it. But I also felt like, I mean, God, do you remember what your childhood bedroom looked like? Like, what colors you were into and what color combos you liked? I was all over the place. I went from having like a bedroom with blue walls and like gold stars everywhere, and it was very like blue and brown and very circa, you know, early 2000s, to like a pink Barbie bedroom, to I loved lime green and went through a lime green phase and had lime green and brown. Like, what the hell was I doing? But I'm obviously like, you know, when you think about your bedroom, is your taste the same as it was when you were 12? Probably not. If it is, good for you. And you're probably just an unbelievable artiste and genius of our generation. And we should be following you for design advice. But I haven't. I've evolved. And I've obviously, there's little bits and pieces of what I love. I still keep things from my childhood. But part of me becoming a woman was me really defining, how do I want to design my house? How do I think so many of us, we don't know until we get proposed with those questions, until life brings us to these beginning of these roads and these chapters where we finally can decide how you want your apartment to look. My first apartment, and this was a big bucket list item for me in my life. I wanted to live on my own. I wanted to have an apartment where I looked around and the things that I owned were from what I paid for out of my own pocket. And I didn't want anyone to tell me shit. Like, if I wanted a hot pink couch, I was gonna get a hot pink couch. If I wanted my whole apartment to look like pink vomited all over it, I wanted to do that because it was my apartment. And that's how I think we take ownership in who we are and who we're becoming as people. And that's an important part of a woman's journey. But in today's world, it does make me kind of sad to see the lack of individualism represented on a larger scale. I feel like when something goes viral, or like the white beige aesthetic that's been in over the last, I don't even know, 5 years, 3 years, when that's all you're seeing, unless you break free of that kind of matrix and think, oh, wait, that's not really how I design. That's not really how I like to live. That's not what my place looks like. You kind of have to have a come to Jesus with yourself, if you will, about what you're into. And it takes a level of confidence to be proud and to stand strong in what you like, especially if it goes against the status quo, if it goes against what people are into. And I feel like amongst my friends, I'm kind of riding. I've always ridden more along the trends because, again, what I said, I love taking inspiration. But when you start paying for your own bills and you're the one buying your clothes and your furniture and taking care of your space and your environment, you start thinking like, okay, fast fashion is really hard because why am I buying a $5 top from Shein? Although I have no hate, okay? Why am I doing that when I could maybe not impulse buy that shirt, but save up $5 every month until I have $75, and then I could buy a really nice shirt that I'll have for my, you know, the next 10 years or maybe my whole life or you know what, that's just an example, but you start really thinking about the longevity of the items that you're purchasing and to just dive deep into these trends to fit in is not only an expensive black hole, but it also doesn't fill and fulfill us when we're not living our true selves. And we're all so different and so unique. I wish more people would show their reality of like, yeah, I like a clean girl aesthetic, but I also have a, you know, not all of my skincare products are in the pink family. And like, I get aesthetic accounts because I love to follow them, but it's not real. And if it is real for that person, again, what I was saying, that's amazing. I'm almost envious of that because I've never been that way. I love color. And I realized when I was decorating my first apartment, things are going to be mismatched. I love patterns. I love red. I love pinks. But my husband likes more of like, he's very modern. He's very boys, very like wood and metal, but I love wood. So I found like a balance between us and made it work design-wise. But I use that as an example to say, enough is enough. I reached a place in my 20s, and you need to reach a place in yours, if you haven't already, where you are who you are. And if you want to wear a wardrobe that isn't in anymore or that was never in, who fucking cares? As long as you feel good in the mirror when you're walking out the door for the day, that's what matters. Like, the confidence that you feel through the life that you build is the most important thing, not whether you fit in. Do I need to repeat that? In our early 20s, especially through college, we feel like we have to chase this, I don't know, this version of this false version of ourselves just to fit in with everyone around us. And I've kind of always gone to the beat of my own drum, but I know some people don't, and I know we get caught up in, again, trends. But what I found as someone who does like trends, but I also was trying to figure out my own style, I would kind of play around with it. Like, I would literally buy in to the trends that I like. Like, I don't know, AirPods, for instance, or Stanley Cups. Like, if I like a trend or there's something about the trend that makes me perk up and be interested, I will buy into it. Whether I buy into it in the price range that are AirPods or at the price range that are Stanley Cups is kind of depending on the trend. But if I had to give advice on how do I try out a trend and see if it is kind of who I am without letting it change who I really am, if it's not something that is like true to my nature, I would say just dabble. just dabble in it. Like for the clean girl aesthetic, for instance, like if your whole house is clean and tidy and then you're showered, skincare's on, a light bead of makeup, and you have a good outfit on, that is living a clean girl aesthetic for the day. And if that feels really good for you, and you also want to add in then the Uggs, the claw clip, the my mom made it bag, and the Stanley, then, and the Pilates, then like, girl, you do that. But that's a lot of money. And that's, I've spent a lot of money on a lot of shit that just wasn't really who I am or what I like to do. Now, granted, I had to do those things to figure out that's not what I wanted to do. But in the moment, and that's just part of being, I think, becoming who you are is obviously trial and error. But that's, I'm trying to save you from that. Okay, I'm trying to save you some money. And also, going back to what I said about your childhood style, there are a lot of themes in who that little girl was, who I still am today. And I pull from that as well when it comes to design and when it comes to your wardrobe and when it comes to, or my wardrobe when it comes to my aesthetic in life. And I'm such a proprietor in, if you don't know who you are and you don't know where to start, go back to that little girl first. Then figure out the good, the bad, the ugly. Because there were some designs that were just fucking ugly that I created. And then do, you know I love to say it, do a good audit and go through your clothes and do the Marie Kondo, does this bring you joy question, and really put a pile of like, not who I am or will ever be again, not who I am right now, but maybe pieces that I would love to keep for the future and for my future kids or future, you know, everything comes back in a cycle. All trends come back, right back around. You know, things you can put away, but will take back out when the trend's back. And then a pile. Yes, fuck yes. I love this. I want to wear this all the time. This makes me feel amazing. This makes me feel like a goddess, a queen. And, sorry, I got so excited. And then build off of that pile, build off of the this is what I like pile, and then buy a few pieces that you can't stop thinking about. I think the cool thing about trends is I will clock something that I like. Like, okay, trend right now that I've clocked that I like but still haven't gone in on a purchase. I have clocked that I like puffer vest jackets, like outerwear jackets, but I have so many jackets. And I love to thrift jackets. So if I see one at a thrift store in the future, I will be purchasing it. But maybe it's not, or like if I go to Target and I see it, maybe I will buy it. But I like to give myself a few months to really sit in with a feeling before I commit. And maybe you're thinking, Arletta, a few months, we're going to be on to the next trend, girl. Like puffer vests will be out. Denim jackets will be in. Well, guess what? I have a denim jacket, so I'll be fucking ready. But also, who cares? I'll still buy the puffer jacket, and then guess what? I'm getting a longevity out of a piece of clothing that I've really thought hard on. And yeah, was it a trend? Sure. But am I fully committed to it now? Hell yeah. So I feel better about where I'm spending my money. And I think that's the most important thing, especially when you're coming into your own. If you don't know where to start, my advice is Pinterest. Pinterest, 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 Pinterest. I cannot speak highly enough about that app. It is unbelievable. If you never heard of Pinterest, if you live under a boulder, let me explain it to you. It's basically an online bulletin board. Like it's an online vision board. You pin pictures that you like. You can add them to different categories. And you can make up your own categories or do like generic ones like house, closet, bathroom, whatever. Make it fun. Make it a vibe. I actually do one every single year for my year because it's fun to look back and see what like the aesthetic for that year for me was. But if you don't know where to start, go to Pinterest. Don't put any guidelines or restraints on yourself and just start pinning girls who are living the lifestyle you want. Start pinning outfits that make you feel like, if you see an outfit and you say, I'm too cool to wear that, but I wish I could. One, no, you're fucking not. You are cool enough to wear that, okay? And that is such like a, who tells you you're too cool to wear? Who? What am I, a fucking owl? What is that from?
Who? What are you, a fucking owl?
Who's telling you that? Like, you're telling yourself that. Your ego is in your head shitting on you. And you know what? We don't have time for that in our womanhood. We're becoming the best version of ourselves, and we're becoming the most confident version of ourselves. And if you think you're too cool to wear an outfit, that's probably because that's something you want to aspire to be to, but you feel like you can't. And there's no one holding you back from that. Buy the outfit. Buy the weird coffee table that maybe is out of your style. You're not going to know until you buy it. You're not going to know until it's in your fucking living room on the ground and you see it with the rest of your stuff. And again, coming back to Facebook Marketplace, that's a great place to play around with different items because you can sell the ones you own, make profit, turn around, buy something else you want to try. And it's all a trial and error, like everything in your 20s is. And it can kind of get exhausting. But if you're someone where you're like, I don't know where to start, but I just think I want to be more mature in what I'm wearing, or I want to wear more color, or I want to wear less color and have more basic pieces that are really strong contenders in my closet throughout the years, whatever it is. I'm very like design heavy and outfit heavy in this combo. This can go across all platforms. Like your music taste can change. Your like sports or workout and fitness life can change. But whatever it is, go to Pinterest, make a board, pin away, and then go into your actual repertoire of what you own. And pick what fits that, what aligns with that. Get rid of whatever the fuck does not. And store, if you can, if you have the room for it, store the things that you don't want to get rid of, but you also don't want to look at anymore. Like you don't want to see in your day to day. And play around with that. I love playing around with different aesthetics. I think we are so... we are limiting ourselves as women to just be these beige, clean, girl, always put together aesthetics. Don't you want to rip your eyes out? Like, don't you want to run, scream, and jump naked under the moonlight, like with your girlfriends eating cake out of your, like with your bigger fucking hands? Like, maybe because I'm staring at this book that's phenomenal. It's called Women Who Run With the Wolves. But we are, again, on my soapbox from last week, like we are lions and dragons and wolves. We are fighters and we are beautiful and we are gentle and sexy. And we are allowing ourselves and our friends and our generations below us, our little sisters, to be these basic fucking bitches. And I don't believe in it. We're doing such a disservice to the world. You are your own unique individual. And you can be a mob wife. You can be a clean girl. You can be a, I don't know, give me another aesthetic. Well, you can be an old money on a poor woman's budget, but do it your way, you know, do it the way you want to do it. Don't do it the way the world's telling you to do it. And at least if you're going to do it the way the world's telling you to do it, at least contemplate, is this what I want to do? Or am I being like a robot influenced and without any rhyme or reason, thought or action behind it? Because if you love a trend, that's one thing. But if you love a trend... or if you're abiding by a trend in your life, but it's not who you are, you're playing dress up and you're playing make-believe, and that can be really damaging because we don't have time to play around, okay? We don't have time. We are, if this is your thing, we're trying to find who we're going to marry, build a life with, and cultivate children and a home with, to go out into the world and then for them to do that too, for them to live a life, for them to be a good person, for them to add positivity and light and loveliness to this earth. And that's serious. That is like almost not serious. It's not seriously talked about enough, in my opinion. And we are, as women, going to eventually be looked to by the younger generation, if you're not already, if you're not already an older sister, if you're not already a mother, if you're not already an aunt or a godmother or whatever. And we don't even know who the fuck we are. We're out here playing make-believe, playing pretend, trying different skins on and masks on, and we're not showing up as our true selves and what we like, out of fear of not being cool enough to wear it, to not being cool enough to say it, do it, act it. You fill in the blank of what you tell yourself in your head. No more. Okay? We are being our full selves. And if you want to try a trend, do it. Okay? If you want to be your own fucking weird self and freak self, and I don't know what I'm thinking, because I think all fucking styles are so sick, honestly. Like, when I see someone who is in such a different style from me, but is rocking it to the fullest extent, where you're like, that is who you really are, I love it. I'm here for it. I think we need more of it. And I just wanted to call that out of you today. So, you know, whether you're a mob wife or a beige baby, as long as it's who you really are, that's what matters. And as long as you are, with every passing day, being more intentional with what you buy and what you consume and who you let influence you, I think we as women will be a lot more confident in our own skin. We will be living closer to our truth. And everything is an energy flow. Everything flows from you. You are the center. You are the nucleus of your life. And if everything around you is a lie, your center is not in it's not living in its true frequency. And you want everything to just flow and feel real and feel nice. And I think sometimes we get to a place, I know I've been here, where I look around and I'm like, I don't fucking like that anymore. And you know what? Get rid of it. Don't keep it. Don't harbor that negative energy into that piece of furniture or that piece of clothing or that car or that boyfriend. Get him out of here. Move it out. Move it out. That's what I feel like singing. I am on one, if you can't tell. But yeah, that's what I have to say. Love the trends, live the trends. You be a bad bitch mob wife. And don't listen to the girls that are like, the husband abuses the wife. We're not talking about the real mob wife. What are you going to do? Start killing people for your husband? Like, no, shut the fuck up. No, we're talking about like the best parts of that woman. We're talking about the bad bitch energy from the mob wife, not the gets abused and gets cheated on. We're not bringing that in our fantasy. This is a fantasy. This is a persona and an energy we're trying to exuberate into our life, okay? We're not, no, get out of here with your reality shit. Mm-mm. We're not, well, we're not so, don't even get me started, okay? Fiend. That's all I had to talk about. I also wanted, I'm doing a little spin on the Arletta hotline this week because I don't have a new caller voicemail, which... I'm rude and I'm picking up my phone. I am on the gardening committee in my neighborhood. Not only am I on it, I'm the president. Okay, I'm the president. How did that happen? I don't know. I do know, but that's a story for another day. I am the youngest one on the committee by 40 years. Let me not age one of them. By 20 years, at least. And I have a meeting today. It's 2:00. I have a meeting at 3:00. Did I know about that? Maybe. Did I forget about it? Yes. And now I have to be somewhere in an hour. But at least I look cute and I'm on my podcast. Anyways, I was going to do something for the Arletta hotline and nobody fucking called me this week. So yeah, I'm looking at you and judging you for still not calling my hotline and asking me your juicy fucking questions. But if you want to call me, please feel free at 720-378-8371. Ask Arlie Hotline. I thought I'd do something different today. I went on Reddit, and we're going to pretend someone asked Arlie, because they didn't. They asked Reddit, but they're asking me today. And just see what people are gossiping, talking about being in your 20s. And I found this good, really good question, kind of deep. Could have a whole podcast episode about it, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to answer quickly what I think. But the question is, the thread is, my question and thoughts on being in my 20s. You can share your opinion. See, so she told me I could share my opinion. First question, what is life? That's a big question. Second of all, is it something we enjoy or do we work hard to enjoy it? Is partying or traveling the world in your 20s considered a good life? And I want to add one more to this, which is traveling and experiencing your 20s fun, partying more important, or is your career more important? And maybe not traveling, but building your career and your network and your little businesswoman life. Like, what is more important in your 20s? The what is life question is like, I don't know, what is life? Do you have 6 hours, a joint, and a fire pit for us to sit in front of to talk about that? Because I almost don't even want to touch that question. But I do think the, is it something we enjoy or is it something we work hard to enjoy question interesting. I think it depends. I think it depends on who you are. I think it depends on what you value. I think it depends on what level of depression you're in or anxiety or, you know, is life something that you enjoy? I enjoy life. I wake up every day with the acknowledgement and gratitude and understanding that some people don't wake up that day. Some people lost someone they loved that day. And I get to put both of my working feet on the ground to stand up for my body, to put in nothing but work for me and for the betterment of my body and our home, like my home, like my temple, like my body. And fuck yeah, I enjoy that. I live in a beautiful state. I enjoy the hell out of life. But I also work really hard to enjoy the day-to-day moments. I think we've made life a little bit too hard to enjoy. If you want to get really deep with me, everything around us we have created. And by we, I mean humans. And sometimes I'm like, what the fuck have we done? This is too hard. This should not be this hard to enjoy it. But there were never any guarantees in life. And everything that we have or the assimilated matrix to which we live has been built, rebuilt, demolished, destroyed, rebuilt. Hi, over centuries. Some of it's beyond me. And I've come to terms with that in my 20s. That some of it will take centuries to undo. And we've seen that with many things in this world. But yeah, I think it's too fucking hard to enjoy it. But then it's not. Then I come back to, I put my 2 feet on the ground today and I stood up. And in that moment, if you realize how unbelievably privileged that is, then it becomes really easy to enjoy. So I find that life is easier to enjoy when you don't get so macro with it and you don't get so spiraled in all of the world's problems, but you come back to yourself and you think, I am breathing, I am living, I am beautiful, I am healthy, I am sheltered, I am full. Then yeah, life is really easy to enjoy. And my question added with this question is, partying or traveling the world in your 20s considered a good life? Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. What's the option that no? What would you consider a good life if your answer is no to that? I don't know. My question more for you is, are you someone in your 20s who have valued your career more, or have you valued traveling and partying and, like, I don't know. Not that your career can't be fun, but there's kind of two schools of thought. And I have been more on the partying, traveling side of my 20s. And I have girlfriends who have been on more of the career side of their 20s. And only time will tell. I think, again, everyone's journey is different, but it's always funny. It's like those two schools of thought are like the curly hair, straight hair method, where it's like, if you have straight hair, you wish you had curly hair. If it's you have curly hair, you wish you had straight hair. It's kind of the same thing with what I realize with my friends and people that I see online. If you spend your 20s building a career, sometimes you can turn around and wish, I didn't travel enough, I didn't party enough, I didn't fuck around enough, I didn't fill in the blank enough. But then for me, sometimes I'm like, should I have just gone into corporate America post-college? Even as I'm saying this, I'm like, bitch, no. I love what I chose, but should I have gone into corporate America and climbed that ladder and been making the six figs? And each to their own is what I'm going to say. Each to their own. But I'm interested to see what you think. Have you focused on your career, and do you regret that? Or do you feel like you set yourself up for success for the rest of your life? Or have you traveled and partied and now you're coming into your late 20s and you don't have the money you want and you don't have the husband or the lifestyle you want, whatever? Do you feel like that was a mistake? I would love to know, because I don't know if I have an answer. I think everyone has a different idea of what living in your 20s is supposed to look like. Truthfully, I think if you can't fuck around and take life a little less serious in this chapter of your life, when can you? Because it almost feels like it gets more serious as we live, as we go on, especially as you take on more responsibility. If you have a child, if you have a house or an animal you have to take care of, like, you can't just drop everything and go travel. So if you're a nomad in your 20s, just like living life, it seems to me like this is the time to do it. Career can come. I know there's ageism and sexism and just stack up the odds against you, fill in the blank, but that's been my perspective, is there's always time to get serious. It's harder to take time to be less serious. And when you are just kind of starting out in life, like, I understand why people give the advice that 20 should be the time of your life where you're just kind of dicking around, because I don't know, if you can't do it then, when are you going to do it? When you're 80 and you can't walk and you're pissing in a diaper? Like, no, I want to do it now. I want to live now. I want to run, jump, swim, fly, dive now. So yeah. Wow, if you stayed to the end of this episode, you're probably as exhausted as I am. I just put everything I had into this microphone for the day. And now I gotta go to a gardening committee meeting, and I have to host the gardening committee meeting. So yeah, I love you. I'm so grateful for you. I genuinely would love to know what your aesthetic is, and like how you came to your aesthetic. And if you have an idea of what mine is, couldn't tell you. I'm like an eclectic. I'm an eclectic little soul. But I love being that way. But I still am on trend, because that's just who I am. We're trendsetters here at Stay Open. What if that was like every time I got on the mic, I was like, hey, trendsetters. I'm not going to do that to you, but anyways, love you. XOXO. Stay open.